talk to Dad.
Hello and welcome to the Talk Dad podcast, episode 134. I've got William here with me.
Hello.
How's it going, Will?
Pretty good.
It's been a little while since you've been on podcast.
Yeah.
Lots of stuff has happened since last time you spoke to our podcast listeners. For example, Christmas, New Year's,
yeah,
other stuff.
Yeah.
How was your Christmas? Have you been enjoying the holidays?
Yeah, it was really good. I got some good presents, spent time with family. One of my friends invited me over on New Year's Day, and we all...
Oh, yeah, tell us about that. That was really funny.
Yeah, so we all... He has a tradition of, like, inviting friends over. He did this last year. And basically, we would be in some drunks, and we would all, like, jump in his pool.
That's on New Year's Day. Heated, by the way.
Yeah, it's not heated.
On New Year's Day, January 1st. And it was a cold January 1st this year.
Yeah, it was a couple degrees colder than last year, and... I think the pool itself was like 40-something degrees, but it kind of seeped through your bones.
40-something degrees is really cold.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was 30-something degrees, it could be freezing.
Well, it was like 30-something degrees outside, but the pool itself was that temperature.
Yeah.
The worst part isn't even being cold. The worst part is like when you jump in, like you start like breathing really shallowly.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know, it makes you kind of panicked.
So you guys were all lined up. I saw a video of this, by the way, because your friend Ben, who's been on the podcast, he's the one who hosts this event. His dad videoed it, I think, on his phone, and then texted it out to some of the parents. So I saw a line of kids, and I saw them all jump, and you were the last one to jump. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I kind of wanted people to be like last second, like guinea pig. I was really nervous jumping in, and so was everyone else.
I can understand that. So, but you did jump in.
Yeah, and like I said, like, the breathing is, like, the worst part, just because, like, I don't know, it makes you kind of panicked, even though nothing that bad happened. And then we were all, like, freezing after we jumped in, and, like, everything was cold, like, the floor is cold, and, like, when we tried to put on a shirt, it just made us colder.
Did you just stay cold for a long, long time?
Well, the only thing that helped was going in, but even after that, it took us, like, 10 minutes until we were at least slightly warm.
Because you were cold, like, all over your whole body, right?
Yeah.
Did it go over your head when you jumped in? Did your hair get wet?
I can't remember.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, it reminds me of like when I was in scouts, like when I was a Boy Scout age, we always used to have our scout camp like up in the mountains in Utah, and like in those mountain lakes are super cold. They're never really that warm. So like Bear Lake, for example. And one of the things you have to do for the swim test is jump in the water over your head and then tread water for like 5 minutes or something. And that was always the hardest. Now, it wasn't like 40 degrees, but it was probably like, you know, 60 degree cold, which is still pretty cold. And that was the hardest thing for me is like, as you jump in and you start to panic because you're like, it's so cold. And then if you're like breathing really fast, it's hard to like tread water and stay there in the water because it's super cold.
Yeah.
But you got to get right out.
Yeah, I went in there a second time, but like, because other people came
you
over.
You went in a second time?
Because like not everyone visited, not everyone like came there at once.
Oh, really?
Arrived at once.
So did everybody do it a second time?
Not everybody. Like I'd say like half of people. And there's one or two other people right after that.
So you didn't think, I've done it once, that's enough, I'm good.
Okay, so Ben had done it 3 times.
Wow.
And, like, the second time he did it, like, immediately after the first time.
That's crazy.
So that was crazy. But I think, like, last year we did it a couple times, and then we just kind of had this cycle where we'd, like, jump in, get out, and jump in again, where we were all in, like, a circle after we got used to it slightly. But, yeah, the second time I was only in there for, like, half a second because I was already really nervous.
Yeah.
And then after that we just played games inside.
Yeah.
And had chocolate. So it was pretty fun.
That's kind of a fun tradition. Some places, they have something called the Polar Bear Club. Have you ever heard of this?
I've heard of the Polar Bear Plunge.
That's like a Polar Bear Club is like these people who they get together, and when the weather is super cold, like in the middle of the winter, they go out to the lake and they like hammer through the ice. So they like make an opening in the ice, and then they jump into the freezing cold water.
Oh, wait, didn't we talk about this on the podcast?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, I think like a year ago.
Yeah, there are people who do that. I think it's insane.
Yeah, that would be crazy.
But, you know, I guess if you're only in there for a little bit, you're going to survive it. It's just,
yeah,
doesn't sound fun.
Yeah, and it was hard. Wouldn't they have to, like, stand barefoot on the ice?
I guess so. I don't know. I mean, you could jump in with shoes, but then it would make it harder to get out.
Yeah, they told me not to wear my swim shirt because that would just make it a lot colder.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
Yeah, but, or, like, it would, like, sting back.
Yeah.
But it was hard, like, even before I jumped in, too, because, like, we were all shirtless and it was, like, 35 degrees outside.
Yeah. So that was on New Year's Day. New Year's Eve, we had a bunch of people over to our house and a New Year's Eve party.
That was fun.
That was fun. We had a whole bunch of people here. I think we ended up, like, because right after Christmas, Mom invited a whole bunch of people. And I think she kind of invited a bunch of people because she thought, well, only some people will say yes. But more people said yes than we expected. But it was fun because a whole bunch of people are here.
Yeah.
So our house was really crowded. There were a whole bunch of kids over. What all did you guys do? I think the adults were kind of playing with the adults and the kids were playing with the kids. But
we all talked about superhero movies, which is like what we talk about like every other time we have some sort of, I don't know, group gathering.
Yeah.
We played Werewolf upstairs. That was a lot of fun.
Werewolf's a fun game.
Yeah. It's basically like, it's kind of like Mafia, but it's like
Mafia or Murder in the Dark.
Yeah, but it's more like that.
But you play it with an actual like cards and out of a box, right?
Yeah.
I heard you guys playing that, and it sounded like it was pretty crazy, pretty wild.
Yeah, it was really fun though.
I think you also had a Super Smash Brothers tournament.
Oh yeah, we played Super Smash Bros. Upstairs
up in the media room. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there were some rounds that lasted like 5 seconds because each tournament round only had one life.
Yeah.
The new Super Smash Bros. Game is really fun.
The Super Smash Bros. Ultimate
mm-hmm.
that you got for Christmas.
Yeah. We also got Splatoon 2 for Christmas, but like apparently half of it requires Nintendo Direct, which you have to pay for like every month to have.
Yeah.
So that's a little disappointing.
I think you can pay by year or two, but yeah.
Yeah.
But it's kind of disappointing to have like a subscription to a game that you already own.
Yeah, I've thought about how, like, it seems like whenever companies try to make some sort of, like, upgraded form of, like, an account, then, like, it always makes people really mad. Like, Nintendo Direct or, like, YouTube Red, Google Plus, even those, like, Geometry Dash minigames.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it seems like those are always really controversial.
Yeah. We also had, we got a fire pit for our back porch. Like just a gas one, not with, like, logs.
Oh, yeah. We didn't know.
So some people were, like, roasting marshmallows. Did you roast a marshmallow?
Not on New Year's Eve because no one wanted to, but
it was really cold out there. And there were a lot of other things to do.
Yeah, we were all doing other things at the time, but we did on New Year's Day and that was fun.
And then when it hit midnight, we had some balloons that had confetti in them, like helium balloons with confetti in them. Everyone popped them.
That completely caught me off guard because I was just like talking to my friends at the time and everyone yelled like Happy New Year and I was like, oh, I thought they were just, like, joking at first, and I checked the time. I was like, oh, crap, it's 2019.
Yeah, 2019 seems, like, really, I don't know, crazy to me. Because when I was a kid, when I was your age, I don't know if you know this, but I grew up in the 20th century.
Mm.
Like, a whole other millennium ago. And I remember thinking, like, when I was your age, like, by the year 2000, I don't know, I'm going to be, like, an adult, and that's, like, a long ways away. And who knows what'll happen by the year 2000. Maybe the world will end in 2000, and you know. But now it's 2019, like almost 20 years later.
Yeah, it feels weird because, like, I can remember when I think there was, like, a like false claim that the, like, Five Nights at Freddy's movie was going to come out in 2017, which was, like, completely false. It made me think, like, man, 2017 is so far away, and now it's 2019.
Yeah, when you hear stuff that's 2019, it seems far away. Or 2020 seems super far away, but it really is just a year away now.
I feel like now these years are going, like, too fast for me to really, like, settle into.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Like, when it was 2018, like, to me, like, just hearing 2018 only sounded normal about, like, halfway through the year.
I know. It always takes a while for your brain to adjust over, so, like, I think for another 3 weeks or so, I'm going to be writing 2018 on, like, stuff that I have to sign and date. I just have to think, nope, it's 2019.
Yeah.
It's really easy for Phoebe because she was born in the year 2000. So she just has to think, well, how old am I? Or if she wants to know how old she is, she just looks at what year it is. She was born in April, so that doesn't work until April comes around. But
yeah, for me, like being 15, like that still seems like a really old age for me.
Yeah, that's another thing. Seems pretty old for me too.
That's another thing that you kind of have to like wedge your way into. Although, like when I was 14, like the first few months of me being 14 still feel like a long time ago.
Yeah,
it's weird because like the years go by so quickly. Until you realize, like, everything that has happened in that year. And then it's like, whoa, that was actually a really long time.
Yeah. I was noticing, too, like, when we had a bunch of families with kids over to our house, none of the kids were really little. Like, there were no kids that had to, like, sleep and couldn't stay up until midnight.
Yeah, I think the youngest... Well, there are some, like, I guess, 10-year-olds. There's maybe one or two 9-year-olds. But, like,
no one that had any problem staying up until midnight. You know, it's not like... Someone said, well, our kid's getting tired. We're going to go home and put them to bed.
Yeah. They're all really nice people, too. So
yeah,
I think it all worked out.
And then after, like, when people were popping balloons, because they were helium balloons, some people are sucking helium.
Yeah.
There are actually some helium balloons right now in our room because Phoebe had a birthday party for one of her friends.
I think I did that once, and then, like, a couple of friends did it, and then everyone was just sucking in helium.
Do you want to suck helium on the podcast?
Hmm.
You know, I've never really been able to get it to work for me.
You just have
to. But I know you can do it, because I saw you do it.
Yeah, you have to kind of, like, nibble, like, a hole in the, like, next to the little tied-off thing.
If I grab one of these balloons, will you suck helium on the podcast?
Sure.
Okay, I'm going to get one.
What if we just, like, went into the next topic and just talked about it while my voice is all squeaky?
Do, like, a news story with you.
Yeah.
You could be, like, Chipmunk Reporter. I don't know about this chair. Maybe I'll get one of these stools over here. See if I can grab it. I'm off mic right now, so I'm talking really loud. Hopefully you can hear me. Mm-hmm. All right. Which one should I get?
I don't know. The green one.
That green one?
Yeah.
The green one? Light green one?
The light green. I can't really tell the difference between the colors.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe
the one that's closest to you.
See if I can do this without falling on my butt.
Wait.
I feel like it's not very sturdy.
Does this count as a segment of Can We Get It to Work on the Podcast or whatever it's called?
Yes, I wish we had a drop for that. This is now Can We Make It Happen on the Podcast, Sucking Helium Edition.
I used to think that helium killed brain cells, but I looked it up and turns out that's not true.
Do you need scissors or anything?
I can usually bite a hole in it.
All right. Do you know what you're going to say? Wait. Do you know what you're going to say?
I don't know.
You can say, welcome to the podcast, episode 134. All right, he's biting the balloon. He's got the balloon in his hand. He's sucking the helium. He's sucking a whole bunch of helium.
Hello, and welcome to Talk to That Podcast, episode 133. Is that it?
134.
Oh, 144. Okay, hello, welcome to...
134.
Oh, 100... I said 134.
Not that it matters.
Hello, and welcome to Talk Stop Podcast, episode 134. Today we have Dad. So how are you today, Dad?
I'm good. How are you?
I am pretty good. That's weird.
That's really weird. I've never been able... Should I try it?
Sure, you just gotta, like, suck it in directly.
Yeah, I think maybe I don't like the idea of sucking something that's not oxygen. I'll try it, though.
Yeah, as long as you don't have too much of it, then it's safe.
Have you ever had any brain damage from that?
No. I looked it up, and it turns out that it doesn't actually kill brain cells. Okay, now it's fading off. Yeah, it doesn't actually kill brain cells.
Does it restrict your vocal cords? Is that how it works?
I don't know. You do kind of feel something, like, in the back of your throat a little. I don't really know how it works.
Kind of
exactly.
Tickles. All right, I'm going to grab one, and then I'm going to try it myself. I don't know if it'll work for me, because I've never been able to get it to work before, but then I've always been a little shy about doing it.
Maybe it has to do with, like, how like, the air interacts with your vocal cords.
All right, which one should I get?
The other green one.
The other green one, you think?
Or, I don't know. Yeah.
They're probably all the same, right? Some of them look bigger than others. The main thing here... is not falling off the stool and busting my tailbone.
Yeah.
That's really painful. This one or this one?
This
purple one. This purple one looks really good.
Okay, sure.
Try the purple one.
Maybe later they'll have like.
For the podcast, I tell you what color the balloon is.
Maybe my generation is going to be like the generation that's always like sucking in helium.
So how did you do it? You bit off a little. I'm going to use the scissors.
Yeah, I don't know. I just get off a little with my teeth. Like I don't like actually bite it. Like I don't eat it.
And
but
suck it, right? Let's see, I got some scissors here.
Yeah.
Make a little hole.
It can't be too small, or else then it'll just take forever. But.
Yeah, I think I got a little hole here.
This is going to be interesting.
I don't know if I can do it or not. You sucked a whole bunch when you did it, and I think that's why you're so good at it. Hello, and welcome to the Talk Dead podcast. It's not really doing it, is it?
It's doing it a little.
Do I have to suck more?
Yeah.
I'll try to suck more.
Yeah, you're not sucking that much at all.
First.
You're not sucking that much at all. Like, you have to, like, notice the balloon, like, shrinking. Yeah, that should be good.
Hello, and welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 134. This is Dad. I've got William here with me.
Okay, that sounds weird.
That is really funny, huh? That makes me laugh.
This is surreal.
Think of a question to ask me.
So how are you today?
I'm doing really well. We went and saw Aquaman earlier, and, you know, we'll talk about that in a minute, but, watching a superhero movie,
yeah,
and my voice is starting to return to normal. That was kind of funny, huh?
Yeah.
That was really good.
That was really
good. All right, I did this successfully, so I'm going to give myself a round of applause.
Still sounds... The thing is, like, a second and they'll fade away, but it'll still be, like, slightly higher.
Yeah. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
It's funny because... Sometimes when you hear people do it, you feel like they're just doing that voice, but I wasn't doing the voice. I don't know if I could do that voice, you know?
Yeah, I have no idea how it works.
It was funny. And it didn't really make my head feel weird or anything. I don't know. It was strange. All right. So the first time ever, we did get to work on the podcast.
Yeah.
So, success. Let's talk about Aquaman. We just saw Aquaman. We just got home from seeing Aquaman.
Yeah,
I worked today. I didn't really take any time off for the holidays. Of course, I took Christmas and New Year's. And Christmas Eve, I worked half a day. And New Year's Eve, I worked half a day. But other than that, I didn't really take any time off. So I worked today, but I met you guys at the theater, and we watched Aquaman. What did you think of Aquaman? Thoughts?
It was really good. I think I'd give it, like, 7.5 out of 10. It's, like, if I were to describe, like, how much I liked it, it's, like... up one level from just being like okay or decent, but it's not quite like amazing.
Yeah. I would give it like a 6.5, I think. Like the things I liked about it is I kind of liked just how crazy it was. Like the underwater world was just crazy and wild and wacky. And there were people riding sharks and people riding giant seahorses, and there were sea monsters, and everything was like bright colors, and everyone's hair like moved in the water.
Yeah, the cinematography was like...
I liked how crazy it was. I kind of liked how it was just sort of an adventure story. What else did I like about it? I liked the costumes. I thought the costumes were really good, especially like the final costume Aquaman has, because it kind of looks like the comics, but it also kind of looks cool.
Yeah, the cinematography was, like, all crazy.
Yeah.
Like, it ended with him, like, doing this, like, giant pose out of the water.
And as, I like, liked, a final shot. There was some humor in it, which I liked. Like, and I don't want to, like, spoil too much. This isn't really a plot spoiler, but there was one part where, like, Aquaman is at the bar with his dad, and they're drinking beer, and these big, tough guys come up to him, and then say, hey, are you that... Water Aqua Boy from what they call him, like Water Boy from the news.
I said, like, are you the Aquaman or Aqua Boy? Or no, he said, like, are you the Fish Boy?
And he's the,
like,
Fish Boy from the news.
Yeah, he said, like, I'm the, like, Fish Man.
I think I'm the Fish Man.
Yeah,
and then he's like, hey, can we get a selfie? I thought that was funny.
Yeah,
because it was like you're all set up to be like, oh, it's gonna be this big barroom fight. But instead they were just all like happy to see him. They won selfies. That was funny.
I will say
I liked the humor. I liked the way it looked.
I will say, like, the first like 20 or 30 minutes maybe were kind of bland compared to the rest.
Yeah. There were definitely parts of it that were better than others. Some of the things I didn't love about it. Oh, the other thing I really liked, Black Manta's costume.
Black Manta was cool, although I do have one issue with them.
His costume looked a lot like the cartoon or the comic book. And I thought that was good that they managed to make it look like that, but also look kind of cool.
Yeah. Okay, how spoilery can we get for this movie?
Not too much, because it's still a fairly new movie.
I mean, it isn't, like, super plot twisty, I guess.
Yeah.
But I did kind of have an issue with Black Manta. I liked every scene that he was in, but I kind of felt like he kind of had, like, no reason to be there. He was only in, like, a couple scenes.
Well, yeah.
Like, I could tell that he was
That's a little spoilery. But, well, I don't want to say too much either. We'll just leave it at that. There's a possibility that he may be in another Aquaman movie. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
They left it sort of open-ended. And the thing I didn't really care for is, I don't know, I thought some of the dialogue was just really kind of dumb. it just wasn't that good.
Yeah, so it was probably a good idea that like the film just kind of was kind of cheesy on purpose.
Yeah, and I think that was a part of it. It's like, it depends on how far you want to go with the cheesiness. Like, did you notice when they talked about, like, if he wins this battle or gets this trident or something, he will be the ocean master. And then the soundtrack literally goes, dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
It was just, it was kind of like, it was goofy and cheesy. It was kind of funny, but it was also like, oh my gosh. I can't believe they literally went, dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, I might have noticed that, but the direction is really good, although I did have two, like, kind of nitpicks where, like, first of all, there was a lot of people getting just, like, interrupted by explosions.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of just, like, people just randomly staring into each other's eyes,
I'm
which got a little irritated.
Not convinced that Jason Momoa is a very good actor. Like, there were sometimes, and maybe it was the script wasn't very good either, but there were sometimes he'd deliver a line and I'd be just like, ooh, this guy just can't really act that well.
So I feel like the line delivery, like, with a lot of different characters is sometimes a little, like, off. But, yeah. Like, I don't know, it makes it so you don't really care too much about that.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's more a big action movie. And so I like that. And that's really what DC needs. They need their comic book movies to be more fun. So I think it definitely succeeded that way.
Yeah, it's like a 7.5, maybe a 7 for me.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. I think
in comparison to like other superhero movies we've seen recently, like Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse or Black Panther or, you know, Avengers Infinity War, I didn't feel like it was nearly on that level.
I mean, it was better than, I guess, like Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, and that wasn't bad.
But I heard, like, it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, it was fine. But, the action shots are really cheesy, even though they looked like... There were some shots that looked, like, amazing, and some were, like, characters of pose in kind of a cheesy way. But I feel like it kind of, like, embraces the cheesiness, and it kind of, like, tries to be cheesy.
Yeah.
So I would really recommend it. I think it's definitely worth seeing.
Anything else about Christmas? So we already said this on the podcast, but our big present this year for the family was announcing that we are going to go to Japan in June, the end of May, early June.
Yeah, that was...
How do you feel about that?
None of us were surprised.
Nobody was surprised, which is a little disappointing for me, but...
You guys kept on talking about getting tickets to Japan.
Well, yeah, but you didn't know we were getting it, did you?
I mean, I basically did. I mean, you guys kept on saying they couldn't find any tickets, and they're like, oh, we just found tickets in Los Angeles.
Yeah, we haven't... Yeah, so when you would ask us, like, have you been able to find tickets, we'd say, nope, haven't found any tickets from Dallas to Tokyo yet. Which is true.
I mean, I was a little surprised by, like, how much you had planned it out, and I was still really excited.
Yeah, so, like, but after I announced it, I, like, did a slideshow of different places that we're going to visit. Did that make you excited at all?
Yeah, it did. This is your fifth time going to Japan?
This will be my fifth time going to the country of Japan. It'll be your first time.
Yeah, and Mom's third time.
Would you have been mad if we would have gone back to Japan with just me and Mom and not taking you?
Well, I'd just be like, that would be like the third time you've done that with just you and Mom. I would be a little mad.
Well, it's a lot easier just to take Mom.
Yeah.
It's a little harder to travel with a whole family, but I think I worked out how to do it, so
yeah,
it'll be good. We're going to stay in an Airbnb, travel by train. It'll all be good.
Mm.
Yeah, we'll probably be talking a lot more about that as it gets closer, and we'll hopefully have a good podcast after we get home to talk about what we did in Japan.
I'm excited to go to the one place with all the deer where you can just like get.
Yeah, I was actually looking at that today and kind of planning out that day. So there's a city named Nara, which is like it used to be the capital of Japan before Kyoto was the capital of Japan, and then before it moved from Kyoto to Tokyo. It's like an old capital, like in the starting in the 8th century, like 8th and 9th century. It was the capital of Japan. And it's got all these super old temples, and it's got this big park called Nara Park that's got three major temples and shrines in it, and then some smaller ones. But it's got all these deer that just wander on their own. And the deer are believed to be, like, sacred. So, like, they're protected, so you can't hunt the deer. They just go where – they just wander the whole town. They'll, like, walk into shops. Like, if you've got a restaurant, like, by the park, they'll just walk right in the door and – and they will like surround you. You can go up and actually touch them because they're very tame. They're so, and you can feed them, but if you feed them, they get very aggressive.
Yeah, I figured they were like harmless as long as you don't like interact with them at all. But like the fact that you can actually touch them,
if you want to, and some of them like they're trained to like they will bow to you.
That is awesome.
Yeah, like if you bow, they will bow to you. They expect you to feed them, but. Yeah, they have these little deer crackers that you can buy and feed to them.
That would be really cool to have, like, a pet deer that you could just, like, keep in your backyard.
Yeah. And when we're there, they're just little deer. They're, like, Japanese deer. When we're there, they will have spots on their back, and they will have little antlers.
Mm. Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah, should be really fun. That's a really cool place there. It's really cool. Like, there's one temple there that is the largest wooden building in the world. Mm. It's called Todaiji. And Todaiji Temple is it's got the largest wooden temple in the world, and it's got a giant wooden Buddha inside it.
We still have that picture from like 2012 from your 20th anniversary of like all the deer like surrounding you and you had a biscuit.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had heard about these deer and I'd heard about the deer biscuits, and I thought as soon as I got to the park, I was like, well, there was someone selling the deer biscuits. I was like, oh, cool. I'm going to go buy some because I heard about this. And I swear the deer were, like, watching me. So as soon as I bought them, they just all rushed around me. And I was like, oh, maybe this wasn't such a good idea. Because they were, like, seriously aggressive and, like, poking their noses at me.
Yeah, they must be pretty smart, like, if they're, like, so used to humans.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. They're very tame. I wonder but how they're also, they can be a little aggressive if they think you're going to feed them.
I wonder how the person who was selling the deer biscuits kept them away.
I don't know.
Maybe, like, eventually.
Maybe they know. Maybe they never feed them, so the deer know that they won't get any from that person. I don't know.
Maybe, like, from observing the humans, the deer will eventually just, like, I don't know, just, like, form a line in front of the biscuit stand.
So we'll go there. We're also going to go to, in Kyoto, there's a place called the Arashiyama Monkey Park, where you hike up this hill, and then when you get to the top of the hill, there are, like, wild monkeys all over the place.
Wait, is that the one with the, like, monkey spas? You get to interact with the monkeys.
It's not up. That's up near Nagano, where they have the snow monkeys that will like go into the hot water pools. But it's kind of like that because there are monkeys just all over the place, and you kind of like interact with the monkeys.
I guess those monkeys are really used to humans too.
Yeah, and they're wild monkeys. They're not like it's not a zoo. It's just a place where there are a lot of monkeys.
Yeah, and I think monkeys are like the funnest animals to watch just because like they're so like. I don't know. They're a lot like humans, and they like, move a lot like humans.
Yeah. These monkeys are Japanese. I can't remember exactly what the species name, but they're Japanese monkeys. They're fairly big, and supposedly you're not really supposed to like have a lot of eye contact with them because they can be a little bit aggressive.
It's kind of scary.
So it's a little bit scary, but it's kind of cool, too. What else? Are you enjoying your winter break? It's just about over. You just got a few days left.
I am enjoying my winter break.
You had Monday off. Did you know that?
Yeah. Last year we had Monday and Tuesday off because, like, last year it was, like, I think a week earlier. Or, like, I don't know, a few days earlier. I forgot exactly how it worked. And so I think New Year's Day was on a Sunday. So we got Monday and Tuesday off so we could sleep in. Mm-hmm. So we had, like, an extended winter break. And this year we have one extra day.
And the only other thing we haven't talked about is I know you were very excited because there was a Doctor Who special. Instead of having a Christmas special, they had a New Year's Day special. What'd you think of the Doctor Who New Year's Day special?
I really enjoyed it. It's one of those like single Dalek stories where like it centers around like one Dalek.
I thought it was interesting that they brought the Daleks back for the special because this year they haven't had any of the traditional enemies.
Like, yeah.
They didn't have any Daleks during the season. They didn't have any, what are the other ones? Like the Slitheen, the...
Oh, the Slitheen, I'm glad they've never brought back.
What's the the robot ones? Why can't I think of what they're called?
The Cybermen?
The Cybermen. They didn't have Cybermen. They didn't have... What are the guys that look like big potatoes?
The Sontarans. Sontarans got
just
like
all the ones that have been like throughout the whole history of Doctor Who. They didn't have any of the traditional ones. They were all new villains. But then for the special, they had the Dalek, which the Dalek is like the classic villain, right?
Yeah, it was like a redesigned Dalek, too. It was like, I don't know. I don't want to spoil too much of the plot, but it was really fun to watch. It was pretty fun to watch.
It was good. I liked it.
Yeah, I don't think it was like amazing or anything, and there's definitely better holiday specials, but it was really good.
Yeah, it wasn't very holiday-ish. I mean, other than the fact that they mentioned that it's New Year's Day,
well,
there was really nothing much about New Year's.
Well, there are some like New Year's themes, and it kind of concluded with like a theme of New Year's Day with like extended family kind of.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's something you probably, I would say you probably have to see all of Series 11 before you see the special.
Oh, really?
Just to kind of like
understand.
I think
there were a few episodes like, I never saw, but... Yeah.
Well, not like all of it, but you do kind of have to understand like kind of the dynamic between
the characters, the companions.
Yeah. And I really like the design of the new Dalek. I liked how they finally like went back to like the origins of Daleks, which like the origins of the Daleks is actually kind of interesting. Like it dates back to like the 60s where like apparently like in the 9th century, they basically had this war and... Basically, I'm pretty sure it's something like these creatures called Khalids, which is an anagram for Dalek, like became like super mutated because of, I think, like a like acid leak or something like that. And they became like these super mutated creatures, which caused them to have to like build these tanks within themselves to be able to sustain themselves.
Like outside armor that they live inside.
Yeah, and I think being created by war... And, like, being so mutated kind of gave them motivations to basically destroy, like, every single race that gets in their way. Because they believe that they are superior now. And they kind of represent, like, the worst of humanity.
Yeah, I think the thing with Doctor Who is, like, you have to get the mythology just right. Because Doctor Who fans are, like, so... A lot of Doctor Who fans are very obsessive about, you know, the history and the mythology. So if you just made up something that didn't fit with the mythology, people would be like, no.
Yeah, there's been a lot of retcons.
Especially with something like the Daleks, you know.
Okay, well, like, they've kept, like, the mythology and history, right? But in terms of, like, with how things work, there's been, like, a lot of retcons.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, they'll just kind of, like, change things up a little bit just to fit the show.
Yeah.
And it usually makes it so that, like, you don't really care that they kind of change the rules a bit. Just because, like... Generally, when they do that, they end up with, like, something with, like, a lot of, like, spectacle and a lot of, like, fun.
Let's do some news.
Now, your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
Okay, I've got a story here. I found this story just really interesting and fascinating. There's a guy from France, Jean-Jacques Savin, who is going to cross the Atlantic Ocean in a barrel.
That sounds terrible.
Now, when I say a barrel, it's like a large barrel. It's made of plywood and resin. On the inside of it, here's a picture of it. I think it's orange. This is a black and white picture, but I think the barrel itself is painted orange.
I don't think that even sounds barrelable.
Here's what the inside looks like. See that?
Oh, that looks really nice.
I'll try to post some pictures. So
must be a really big barrel then.
This is a story from the BBC News. A Frenchman has set off to cross the Atlantic Ocean a barrel-shaped orange capsule, using ocean currents alone to propel him. So it doesn't have an engine, doesn't have a sail.
Doesn't have like a steering wheel or anything.
Nope. He's just going to be bobbing along in the ocean using ocean currents to get across the Atlantic Ocean.
Well, that would be terrifying.
Yeah, wouldn't it? Jean-Jacques Savin, age 71, left El Hierro in Japan's Canary Islands in hopes to reach the Caribbean in as little as 3 months. His reinforced capsule contains a sleeping bunk, kitchen, and storage. He will drop markers along the way to help oceanographers study Atlantic currents. Updates on the journey are being posted on a Facebook page, and the latest message said the barrel was behaving well. This is a story from December 27th, so it's a few days ago. In a telephone interview with AFP News Agency, he said, "The weather is great. I've got a swell of 1 meter, and I'm moving at a 2 to 3 kilometers an hour. I've got favorable winds forecast until Sunday." Mr. Savin is a former military paratrooper who has also worked as a park ranger and a pilot. He believes the ocean currents alone will carry his resin-coated plywood vessel about 4,500 kilometers or 2,800 miles to the Caribbean. The barrel is 3 meters long and 2.10 meters wide, with a 6 square meters of living space. There is a porthole in the floor through which Mr. Savin can watch passing fish. The capsule has been built to resist waves and potential attacks by orca whales. A solar panel generates power for communications and GPS positioning. His budget of 60,000 euros, or about $68,000, was largely raised through crowdfunding. His stores include a block of foie gras and a bottle of white wine for a New Year's Eve. He also has a bottle of red wine to celebrate his 72nd birthday on the 14th of January. The markers he drops along the way will help oceanographers from an international marine observatory study currents. What do you think about that?
That's okay. Just imagine, like, I don't know, being in a barrel in the middle of the ocean, not knowing like where you're even going is pretty scary.
Yeah. And he's going to be down there for a long time. There's no way to control like how fast he goes. So the currents could stop, or he could like get out of the current and then just be stranded there.
And how does he know if he's going to like arrive at a like major town or city?
He doesn't know. He said he hopes, I skipped that part of the story, but I'll go back and read it. He said that he'll probably end up in like Barbados, but he would really like it to be a French island like Martinique or Guadeloupe, because that would make it easier for the paperwork and bringing the barrel back.
Yeah, well, he would need to like... Yeah, he'd need to...
So he's not sure where he's going to land, but he's just sort of based on the ocean currents, he's guessing that it'll be somewhere in the Caribbean, like near Barbados.
If the barrel is really that big, how can he like transport that places?
I don't know. I mean, it's probably you could load it on the back of like a flatbed truck or something.
But if he doesn't end up being out of town, then he'd have to like carry that thing like miles.
It'll like wash up on the shore of some beach is what he's expecting to happen.
Ah, okay. So he'd just be able to kind of like litter it.
I don't know. I mean, they can drive something up to the beach and pull it out.
Yeah,
like you do with a boat, right? Mm. Like you load a boat onto a something. Onto like a trailer.
Yeah.
But yeah, being in that capsule, just like floating along would be pretty, I think it would be like psychologically difficult. Like,
well, okay.
Like, what do you do with yourself? He is able to communicate because he's got communications on the barrel.
He sounds like, I mean, I get how he'd be able to be like pretty calm if he's been like a pilot and been in the military and stuff. He sounds like it sounds like he'd make a really good astronaut, because like the tests that they'll do on astronauts to see if they've, can find a good astronaut is like, there's a person on Quora who answered this, who's like a former astronaut, who said that like the tests that they do to make you become an astronaut, like they'll like put you in a sleeping bag, zip up the sleeping bag and put you in a dark room, to like see how claustrophobic you are.
Yeah, have you ever been to like a museum where they show like the original space capsule?
Yeah.
They're like really small and really claustrophobic. Like, I don't know if I could handle it. Especially like the Apollo mission, the ones that went to the moon. Like what they traveled back to the Earth in was like smaller than this little kitchen that we're in. It was really small.
Yeah.
And that would be pretty nerve-wracking.
Okay, I got slightly derailed by a red balloon floating off. Looks like a scene from It.
It's funny when helium balloons start to lose their helium because they can sometimes like float at eye level.
Yeah.
And when you see them out of the corner of your eye, you're like, ooh, looks like there's a person over there. Mm. Anyway, do you want to read your story?
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, astronauts have to be like extremely chill.
Yeah, you got to have the right mentality for it. So it sounds like this guy has the right mentality for it. I'm not sure I could do it. It would kind of freak me out.
Yeah, that's why I used to want to be an astronaut when I was really little, but now I definitely don't want to be. Okay, this one I actually heard about. A rare super blood moon is coming this month. I'm pretty sure this actually already happened in either like 2017 or 2018.
Oh, yeah.
But, it says... Or that
well, there
was
is
a,
one thing that makes this even more rare.
Well, the last one was a super blood, or like a super blue blood moon.
Yeah.
And this one's a super wolf blood moon. I don't know if I'm saying that right or not.
I think so.
Super blood wolf moon, super wolf blood moon. I don't know exactly what they're calling it. But basically, it's a total lunar eclipse, which is like, you know, a solar eclipse, but like the Earth casts its shadow on the moon and the moon becomes red.
Yep.
A super, or a blood moon. I mean, wait, no, it's the exact same thing.
That's what makes the blood moon, right, is this lunar eclipse?
Yeah. It's also a supermoon, which is where, like, because of the way the Earth rotates around the sun and the way the moon rotates around the Earth, or revolves and rotates, every year there's always a supermoon, which is when the moon is at its perigee, I'm pretty sure.
It's like the closest point to the Earth, right?
Yeah, and where the moon appears, I think it was, like, the average is 7% bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I really like facts about space, so I've learned a lot about this. So that's going to be going on, and it'll be a total lunar eclipse, and it'll be a wolf moon, which it says like...
So what's a wolf moon?
It says it's like a full moon in January. I'm not really sure what actually sets it apart from other moons. I don't think it's like...
It's just what you call the January's full moon?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's not like a like blue moon or harvest moon where there's like multiple moons in one...
Yeah,
month.
Blue moon is when there's two in the same month, right? So it's the second one in a month.
But I think a wolf moon, I don't know if a wolf moon is like two in one month. I think it just means like...
I think it might be the first one in January.
Yeah, so I guess it's like the first full moon of the year.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they call it a wolf... Wait, no, it's actually not why they call it a wolf moon.
Oh, does it say why they call it a wolf moon?
Yeah, it says it was nicknamed that because Native American tribes would hunt after... Or Native American tribes would see that, like, wolves would howl at the wolf moon as they hunted for food in midwinter.
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was called that because of, like, werewolves turn into wolves at full moon.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like wolves are always associated with the moon because of the howling, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. Why do wolves howl at the moon?
I don't know. I mean, I think they howl, like...
Has to be some sort of, like,
I don't
fun
know.
Fact.
I need to know the answer to that. Do you think Alexa knows? Probably not, but we'll ask her. Alexa, why do wolves... Alexa, why do wolves howl at the moon?
Wolves howl for many reasons, such as to protect their territory, to announce their location, and as a signal for their pack to meet up. Howling increases when wolves hunt, which tends to be during the evening and at dawn, and in the wintertime, which is when they search for mates. Wolves often howl together, which is known as a chorus howl, and they direct their howls towards the sky to allow the sound these howls to travel farther.
All right, I got to give Alexa a round of applause because that was actually a really good answer.
Well, do we get why they howl at specifically moons,
Sorry,
though?
I don't know that one.
Do we get exactly why they howl at moons, though? I think we got why they howl at night.
We got reasons why they howl.
Yeah, night, and why they do it at the sky. Actually, I'm pretty smart. But...
I think they do it. I think they howl at the moon because the moon is up and it's like lighting their way, and it makes it easier to hunt and easier to mate.
I don't know. I kind of like.
Yeah, I think
about
it's
wolves.
A pretty good answer. That was a pretty thorough answer. Better answer than we usually get from her.
I kind of like learning about wolves because they'll just kind of sound like, I don't know, just like they're all best friends.
Yeah, they're interesting. I think they're really interesting animals to study because of how social they are.
Yeah, it's interesting how wolves like always. Are in, like, large packs, and then we domesticated them, and now, like, we just get, like, one of them in our home. I guess, like, with the family, but still.
Yeah. I mean, domestic dogs are now a completely different species from wolves, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
All right, I got one more story here. This is a story about a woman in Houston, a Texas woman, who got a teddy bear as part of a white elephant gift exchange. And then she noticed something weird about the teddy bear.
Was there like a secret file hidden inside of it?
Worse.
Whoa.
She noticed that it said it had something written on the animal's foot. So she's trying to learn about the teddy bear. It had Neptune Society written on the animal's foot. Have you ever heard of the Neptune Society?
I haven't.
It sounds like something that would have to do with Aquaman, doesn't it?
Is it like a society that's based on Neptune?
No. It is a society that has to do with people who want to be cremated. And I had never heard about the teddy bears before, but a lot of times what I had heard about the Neptune Society is when you die, you can be cremated and you can have your ashes scattered at sea, and the Neptune Society will do that for you. So they'll do like a burial at sea. So you have your cremated means you become ashes, right? Mm-hmm. And they take your ashes and they take it out to the ocean and they scatter it on the ocean.
That is
well, apparently another service they offer is having your ashes put inside a teddy bear.
Whoa. Oh my
gosh.
This
woman got a teddy bear with someone's human remains in it.
I thought it was dark enough for it to be like associated with cremation, how you pronounce it, but
yeah, she says, Rocky Desai says she was attending a holiday party about 2 weeks ago when she ended up with a teddy bear at the end of a white elephant gift exchange. Stitched on the bear's foot was Neptune Society. She did a search of the internet and discovered that Neptune Society is a company that provides cremation services, and its offerings include teddy bears to store a loved one's remains.
That sounds like something out of a horror movie, where like there's like a villain. There could be like a villain who lives in like a creepy house where he'll like...
Yeah. She said, I read that, and I started to feel it's almost like little pebbles or rocks inside the bear. She's trying to find out like who it belonged to. The person who brought it to the party bought it at an estate sale prior to the holiday party. The Neptune Society doesn't keep any records, so they can't tell who it belonged to. But she's hoping that through this news story that the word will get out there. Maybe some loved ones will claim this teddy bear.
But there could be like a horror movie villain of like a person who lives in like a creepy house where like he would burn his victims and like put their ashes in teddy bears.
This is not quite that dark. You know, if this were a horror movie though, like she would be haunted by the ghost of the person whose remains it was.
Yeah, but like in the horror movie, like maybe inside his house there would just be like a whole bunch of teddy bears.
I don't even want to think about that. But so she's, I admire her because she's trying to find the rightful owner of these remains and maybe try to find the family it belongs to. I kind of admire her for just going through all the trouble of trying to figure out what the deal is with this teddy bear. But then when she found out, she's taking it to the next step and tried to find its rightful family.
I had a stress dream about teddy bears once. You know how like in like sci-fi shows, like there's always like for example, on Doctor Who, sometimes there'd be like zombies or ghosts and they'll be like, whoa, how is this happening? And then like they'll find some sort of like scientific explanation for it. Or like in like Nancy Drew, Professor Layton.
Yeah.
Cause like, I think I had a dream that like a teddy bear like got up and started walking on its own, but I could figure out like no way
for it to be happening. Yeah, that's the sort of thing that would happen. A lot of times like there's like a clown puppet, like on Poltergeist, or like a ventriloquist dummy. It's always creepy in horror movies.
Yeah.
So I can see like a teddy bear walking on its own would be pretty scary. So well, I've always thought like, I don't necessarily care what happens to me after I die. Like, you can bury me, that's fine. But I've always thought, like, cremation would be really convenient because you wouldn't have to worry about, like, where you bury me. You could just put me on the mantle and you could move me from place to place.
I don't know. Being like, oh, well, now I'm just everywhere. I'm just all across the globe. That's... I don't know. I don't like
the idea. I
don't
really care. I'm gone.
I guess once I'm dead, I wouldn't really care.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. You can do whatever you want with me.
Yeah. And that is our news. I've got a hypothetical. You want to do a hypothetical?
One last thing. Like,
sure.
That's the thing. Like, people say, like, ooh, I'm going to donate a body to science. That way scientists can, like, use my skeleton or whatever. But, like, would you really even care what people do with their body after you die? It's just kind of useless after that.
It would be a little weird to be, like, the skeleton that's hanging up in a classroom.
Yeah, like, this universe.
Don't you think?
This universe seems like it would matter, like, very little after you die anyways. So, like, I don't know. That gets into... Completely different conversation, though.
Totally different conversation. Let's go ahead and do a hypothetical. I've got a hypothetical that was left over from a previous podcast we had. We didn't get to. And we kind of touched on this topic already today. But this hypothetical has to do with space travel. So you talked about being an astronaut. This is a little bit more detailed than that. And this is talking about like far space, deep space travel. So this is something that gets addressed in sci-fi novels a lot because the vastness of space requires you to think a little bit long term, right? Because you can't just travel from planet to planet very easily. All right, here's how the hypothetical goes. And I wrote this one, by the way. You are presented with the opportunity to travel to an alien planet with an Earth-like atmosphere, but that is 99% unexplored. You will be among the first dozen people to explore it. To get to the planet, you would have to be placed in a state of stasis or hibernation for 20 years. The plan is for you to explore the planet for 12 months, then return to Earth, once again being placed into stasis, for the return trip. While you are in stasis and traveling through space, your body doesn't age much, the equivalent of a few days. Everyone you know on Earth will be 41 years older when you return, and some will no longer be living. Do you do it?
So what's the reward here?
You get to explore an alien planet that is mostly unexplored. You get to be one of the very first people to explore an Earth-like alien planet.
I think I'd rather just like watch like footage from a space probe.
Just watch someone else do it.
Yeah, I think that'd be good enough for me.
You would also like live much longer than most people live because you'd be hibernating for 20 years.
Yeah,
or
I don't.
40 years. You'd be hibernating for 40 years.
Yeah, I think it would like almost drive me crazy just like getting home and watching everyone like some people be dead and some people be 40 years older than me.
That would be really weird, right? So someone like, let's say you left your younger brother. So Henry is 3 years younger than you. If you left for 41 years and you like came back.
2 years older or younger.
Well, he's two and a half, 3 years close. So you leave for 41 years and come back. He's 41 years older, but he's 41 years older than he is now. So how old is Henry? Henry's 12.
He'd be 52.
So he would be 60.
52.
52.
Or wait, 44 years? Is it 44 years it'll be, or just 40?
41.
41, so he'd be 53.
He'd be 53, and you would be, and you're 15, so you'd be like 16 or 17.
Yeah, that...
How weird would that be? Suddenly he'd be like way older than you, even though he's your younger brother.
I think that's definitely enough to drive someone insane, or like at the very least cause some like serious like mental disorders.
You'd have to prepare yourself for this because I think if we're going to have like deep space travel, things like this are going to happen. I mean, if you don't take into account the whole, you know, traveling at near or at the speed of light thing, which messes with people's time. But even I think you'd have to have some sort of a hibernation going on. And that would, I think you'd have to just be prepared to say, I'm going to be disconnected with the people I'm leaving.
Yeah, that would require, I don't know, you need some, like, serious therapy to just, like...
Difficult to wrap your mind around?
Yeah, just to cope with, like, everyone being that much older than you, like, since you left, I think...
Or, like, if you had children, they would be older than you when you got back.
Yeah, you could have, like, some serious anxiety issues just from all of that.
It would be just very strange to try and reintegrate yourself into society, right?
Yeah, it would definitely be
think
better
about
just to,
how
like,
much technology would change while you're gone.
It would definitely be better just to, like, watch some footage from a space probe.
Yeah. But still, I think exploring an Earth-like planet would be really cool.
Yeah.
Although it could be really dangerous, too. You don't know.
That would also be
an adventure, though.
I feel like that would also cause some, like, psychological issues, though.
Probably.
I don't know why this is, like, the main
thing
that I'm...
Being on an alien planet for a whole year.
I don't know why this is, like, the main thing I'm talking about, but I think that is a really important factor here. Just, like, being on a completely different planet.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot to think about, a lot to take in.
Maybe if you're just, like, one of those, like, special, like, specially chosen astronauts that, like, is super chill and doesn't freak out over anything.
Well, I think to be, like, someone who would say, absolutely, I would want to do this, you have to be someone who really enjoys taking risks. you enjoy new things, you enjoy adventures, you don't worry about risks that much.
Yeah, definitely.
You don't have much anxiety. You're just kind of like, yeah, that sounds awesome. I'm going to do it.
Mm. Right? Yeah, and you need to be like, I feel like it's almost impossible to imagine like how, like, or how much of like a risk taker you need to be to be an astronaut.
I wonder if anyone who's listening to this would definitely say yes to this. I would like to hear from someone. Like, if you're listening to this and you'd be like, absolutely, I would want to go and explore a planet and come back. Especially if, you know, you're relatively sure that you're going to be able to make the trip and the return trip. So you'll probably make it back to Earth. Okay. I'd like to hear from someone who would be like, oh yeah, absolutely, I would do it. Even if it means that the people on Earth would be a totally different age for me when I return.
I think you got to consider all the factors here. I think the main problem is just like psychological issues.
Yeah.
So like, would they just like designate like a special apartment for you when you get home?
I don't know. Would I don't know. You might have to like totally deep. It's like, you know what it's like?
What?
It's like Captain America.
Wait.
When they pull him out of the Arctic Ocean.
Oh yeah.
Like suddenly, like all the people he knows are old and all the pop culture references he doesn't get.
Wait, you and mom could be like dead.
Yeah.
In fact, I'd say there's like a 50-50 chance.
Probably.
That.
For sure. And then like if you waited until you, like 10 years from now or 20 years from now, it's almost certain we would not be around anymore.
So can you imagine if like they like froze time to like have like, I don't know, Skype calls with the past, so that way you could just see them like getting older like so quickly?
Well, and while you're hibernating for 20 years, you wouldn't be able to communicate with anyone.
Well, like, what if they figured out a way to, I don't know, like freeze time or bend the like space-time continuum or whatever?
I don't know. Like, what if we could like write you letters, but you wouldn't be able to read them until you got back or something?
They could just, I don't know, they could figure out how to have like really, really strong Wi-Fi signals.
Yeah.
And like, they could like freeze time whenever I give someone a Skype call, but still manage to make the Wi-Fi signals going. And like, imagining like every day seeing them get older and older would be like, that's like enough to drive anyone insane.
Be crazy, huh? Yeah. It's a weird thing to think about, but I think it's the sort of thing that, like, they talk about this in sci-fi novels a lot, because there's, you got to have some explanation for how people can cross those vast distances in space and still be alive to when they arrive at the planet.
Yeah. We've talked a lot about space on this podcast, and I can't believe I haven't mentioned this yet, but I actually got like a binoculars for my birthday and a stargaze.
Oh yeah.
And like a star chart.
Yeah, that was one thing you asked for Christmas, was a good set of binoculars. Do you like them?
Yeah, I really like them. Thanks for getting them for me. But I tried stargazing one night, but there wasn't that much for me to look at, and it's been really cloudy lately.
Yeah, well, maybe when the super blood wolf moon comes, you can look at it through your binoculars. It's also got like a little attachment where you can attach your phone to it and you can take pictures through it.
Yeah, and I was thinking,
take pictures
like
of the super blood wolf moon through the binoculars on your phone, that'd be cool. Maybe we can post it to Instagram or Twitter.
And I was thinking, like, if I try to look at planets, then they'll probably only kind of be recognizable as planets. But honestly, like, looking through those binoculars, even if I can see, like, just, like, the slightest bit more of details, it's still, like, really fun to look at.
Yeah. All right, there's only one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is
three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself. Treat yourself.
So after we watched Aquaman, you and I got in the car and we drove to a store that was close to the theater, Five Below. Five Below is kind of a fun store because everything in the store is under $5. And they have a whole bunch of candy and treats, and some of them are unusual treats. And some of the treats that we found, you found these. I didn't see them. You found them. There's two candy bars. One is a s'more flavored candy bar. It is a chocolate bar with fluffy marshmallows and crushed honey graham crackers in milk chocolate. There's no way that's going to be good. And there's no way that's going to be bad. Sorry. That's got to be good, right? And then there's another one. This one is more controversial. This is Bacon Luxious. I guess Bacon Luxious. How would you pronounce that?
Yeah, Bacon Luxious.
One is Bacon Oh My Luxious? S'mores, and one is Bacon Luxious.
I don't know.
Bacon Luxious chocolate is delicate maple sweetness, a sprinkle of bonfire smoked sea salt, and crispy uncured bacon and milk chocolate.
I mean, it sounds like a qualified company made this, but like,
yeah, this is by the Chuao. It's Chuao. Chuao, I'm going to say. Chocolatier. I don't know where this is from. It's from Carlsbad, California. So we've got a bacon chocolate bar and a s'mores chocolate bar. Let's start with the s'mores. I can't imagine these s'mores are going to be bad. They've got to be good because it's just chocolate and graham crackers and marshmallow.
I guess it'll be like mediocre at worst.
Yeah, at worst, it's just kind of so-so, but
I don't know.
It sounds awesome.
I don't want to jinx it, but it does kind of sound like they know what they're doing.
It smells good.
Probably just advertising.
This one has got to be good. The bacon one, I'm a little more iffy on, but I'm intrigued.
Yeah, I walked past.
So let's start with the s'more one.
I walked past the s'mores one, and I was like, oh, maybe we could do that on the podcast. And I saw the bacon one, and I saw the bacon variant, and I was like, okay, yeah, we're definitely doing that on the podcast.
I'll take a picture of this, see how it looks. It's got the marshmallow sticking out of it.
Whoa, that's weird.
They're like embedded in the chocolate bar.
It almost seems a little lazy just to, like, have the marshmallow just stick out of it instead of just keeping it, like, within it.
All right, I'm going to pass you a piece, and then I'll mute the mics. What did you think of these? What is it called? Oh My S'mores chocolate bar.
So the quality of the chocolate was pretty good, but I feel like the marshmallows add, like, almost nothing to it.
And the marshmallows were not very fluffy. They're a little bit stale.
And they have, like, no taste.
They look cool because they're sticking out of the candy bar, but I think you're right. I'm still going to say it's delicious.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso.
Because it's a chocolate bar.
I'm going to say it's okay just because that's kind of disappointing. Okay.
It is a little, the texture is a little weird too because it's like, it's not chunks of graham cracker. It's almost like graham cracker crumbs that are like in the chocolate, which makes it a little bit gritty.
The texture's pretty good. If I judge it by just how it tastes, then it would be delicious. But, like, I feel like the quality of the chocolate wasn't quite as good, though, and just feel like you're just tasting nothing.
Yeah.
Because, like, the quality of the chocolate was almost, like, it was really good, but it was almost to the point where, like, I don't know, where, like, you just weren't tasting anything. Almost.
All right, the next one is Bacon Luxious. Bacon Luxious. This is the one that I'm really interested in. This is the one that really intrigued me when you saw it in the store. This is really the reason we're doing it. If it was just the s'mores one, we probably wouldn't have got it.
That's what I was thinking. This but one I'm kind of...
Bacon-covered chocolate in a chocolate bar.
This one I'm kind of concerned about, because it seems like we've had a lot of treats in the past where, like, I'll try to mesh, like, weird flavors with each other. And usually when they miss, like, really hard. And
yeah, this is something horrible. It could definitely be missed. I'm smelling it. It only smells like chocolate to me so far, but let's see what it tastes like.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous for this one.
All right.
I feel like the bacon, maybe the bacon flavor works too well, because that just tastes like normal chocolate.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't really taste the bacon at all. I mean, I taste a little bit of saltiness, but I don't taste something that tastes like bacon to me.
Yeah, both of these just taste like really good chocolate, but...
I think it must be really finely ground, because there's not like big chunks of bacon.
Well, if you, like, taste carefully, I don't know, you can kind of notice it, but, like...
I can sort of see something in it, really taste bacon.
Both of these I would definitely rate delicious, if they weren't trying to be more than just chocolate.
Yum, 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 yum! Delicioso!
So I'm rating it delicious, because it's pretty good chocolate.
Yeah, I'm rating it okay, because, like...
With a little bit of a saltiness to it, which is good.
It's just chocolate. I think my opinion has a little bit of saltiness to it.
So, because you're disappointing, you're saying it's just... Okay.
It's problem is it's trying to be more than just chocolate when it's literally just chocolate. It's not adding like anything to it.
And yet it still tastes pretty good. I don't know. I mean, it is what it is. It's a chocolate bar, but it advertises itself as a bacon chocolate bar and it doesn't really taste that bacony.
Yeah, the bacon one is worse because like it always makes me like really kind of nervous while I'm eating it because I'm always afraid that I'll start tasting bacon.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. That's weird.
So that is Treat Yourself, and that is our podcast. Thank you, William, for being on the podcast today.
Thank you.
It's great having you here. Thank you to everyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can tweet us at TTD Podcast on Twitter. You can find us at Talk to Dad Podcast on Instagram and Facebook. You can find us at TalkToDadPodcast.com, where all of our podcasts are available for download and streaming. If you want to help out the podcast, the best thing you can do is you can leave us a 5-star review wherever you found the podcast. If you subscribe, rate, and review us, it helps us get the word out to other people who might listen to the podcast. If you're new to the podcast, give us a shout out and we'll give you a shout out on the podcast. I'd like to hear kind of how you found out about it, what you like, maybe some constructive suggestions about what we could do on the podcast. That'd be great. This has been a lot of fun and we will see you later. Last time for love.